Six Music. Tonight from midnight, Don Letts. Right now, Guy Garvey's finest hour.
Who put Garvey on the air?
The B, Barry BC. That's who.
Singer of Elbow, and this could be my finest hour. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I hope you're toasty warm wherever you are. It's thick with snow where I am pre-recording this show for you in my little house in North Manchester. Wherever you are, if you've not got somebody to hang on to, I hope you've got extra layers on to compensate. It's freezing out there. That was Climbers and Bookshop Folk. I chose that song because it's excellent, as everything on the programme is, in my opinion. The Climbers are part of the Willkommen Collective. They're a bunch of extraordinary musicians from Brighton who all play on each other's records, record each other, generally assist each other, and some of their output is incredible. A testament to how important a collective can be. Anyway, I played Bookshop Folk because the theme of this week's Finest Hour is going to be literary. To tie in with Six Music's paperback writer season, I've chosen lots of songs to do with poetry and books and all things literary. Without further ado, let's move on. Jolie Holland is one of my favourite artists. I play her regularly. Her album Catalpa, I quite often say is my favourite record, but I say that about quite a few records. But anyway, Wandering Angus is an adaptation of a W.B. Yeats poem. I didn't know there was an archive of Yeats reading his own poetry. If you go to Yeats Society page, you can actually see, or rather hear, Yeats reading his own poetry, along with photographs taken at the time of the recording. I didn't even know they existed till I was researching this song earlier. I played this most recently on when I filled in for Kerris Matthews on a Sunday afternoon recently, and I got a lovely email concerning it. But for now, here is Jolie Holland from the wonderful album Catalpa with her adaptation of W.B. Yeats' Wandering Angus.
The hazelwood, because a fire was in my head. I cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry to a golden
Isn't that spellbinding? That's Jolie Holland from the album Catalpa. That's her version of Wandering Angus by W.B. Yeats. All the theme of this week's show being literary. So I played that when I was filling in for Kerris recently, and I got an email off Susie Walker who said, very simply, this is lovely. Have you heard Donovan's version? Not a huge fan of Donovan. I did like his song Hurdy Gurdy Man. Very spooky affair it was. I think it was Warren Ellis, actually, from Warren Ellis, longtime collaborator of Nick Cave's, is in Grinder Man. Warren Ellis, during an interview on this very show, recommended that I have a listen to Donovan's Hurdy Gurdy Man. It was used in the film Zodiac, and it was a terrifying thing. But this is his version of the song you've just heard, of Wandering Angus. It's an old Celtic folklore, but I'm confident that Donovan and Jolie Holland have adapted it from the Yeats poem. So here you go. The other Donovan tune alike. Some friend of mine went to see Donovan at the Green Man Festival. Or rather, they happened to see Donovan at the Green Man Festival. And in between songs, he was sort of talking patois, which they all found very confusing. And the one girl there, Joanne, who actually is married to the drummer from I Am Clute, my good friend Andy, Joanne's reported to have said, he's very well travelled, in defence of him. That was my impression of someone from Liverpool, by the way. Anyway, I digress. Susie Walker introduced me to the other Donovan tune alike. Here's his version of the song of Wandering Angus.
I went out to the hazel wood. Because the fire was in my head, and I cut and peeled a hazel wand, and hooked a berry on a thread. And when white moths were on the wing, and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame, but something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl, apple blossom in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering, hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone, and kiss her lips and take her hands. And walk among long dappled grass, and pluck till time and times are done, the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun.
There we have it. That's Donovan's version of The Song of Wandering Angus by W.B. Yeats. You caught the lyrics twice there. The fella in the song is fishing by moonlight. He hooks a silver trout. It turns into a beautiful girl. He falls in love with it, her. She disappears and he spends the rest of his life trying to find her. I have a very strong memory of being about 18 years of age, and me and my friend Ed decided to write a story. We recorded it on a cassette tape and we came up with the legend of the carp woman. This was basically about a chap fishing by moonlight, hooking a carp, not a trout, and it turning into a beautiful girl. I wonder if this is spontaneously occurring in young men. I know it was an early Yeats poem. I went and checked it out. Women who come from fish, is it something to do with us all being fish at some point? Is it to do with young men thinking about being alone, sort of lone heroes, romance? Have you got any light to shed on why our story was so close to that of Yeats? I'm sure that his came from a Celtic folklore, but if you've got any amateur psychologists out there who've got any answers, it's guy.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Make the title of your email Carp Woman. Wonderful. Right, well, it's time once again for the most incredible radio item ever broadcast. It's time once again for That Was the Sky at Night That Week That Was. On this week in 1995, in New Life News, Danish biologists reported that they had found a new life form. Living off the lips of a Norwegian lobster, the creature, which looked like an animated cold sore, wasn't simply a new species, but a new form of life entirely. What biologists call a phylum, or a phylum. There are only 35 known phylums in the world. In peace news, after 3.5 years of fighting, peace broke out in the Balkans with the signing of the Paris Peace Accord. This ended the war in Bosnia and was to be enforced by 60,000 NATO-led soldiers. In more peace news, the Mitchell Commission held its first meeting in Belfast. The international body, headed by US Senator George Mitchell, had been set up to examine the decommissioning of paramilitary weapons in Northern Ireland. Excuse me, I'm tripping over my tongue today. In more peace news, very fitting when you realise what song I've chosen to accompany the item today. On the final day of a two-day summit in all the countries of Southeast Asia, a treaty banning the possession, production and control of nuclear weapons was signed. Great! Three peace items in one day. In flag news, the US Senate stopped a constitutional amendment this week which would have allowed Congress to outlaw flag burning. I'm very glad about that. That's a freedom of speech issue. In film news, among the movie releases this week were Jumanji, God, that was terrible, Sabrina and Heat. I'm not a huge fan of any of them movies. The latter starred Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, and as every film buff knows, they previously both appeared in Godfather 2, but never in the same scenes. In obituary news, among those leaving us this week were Giorgio Fini and Hugh Hollingsworth Smith. Fini had been the first person to sell homemade pasta, while Hollingsworth Smith had played a major role in developing the 17D vaccine against yellow fever. Very different, but very important achievements, I feel. In animal news, a bus company in the West Midlands apologised to an 11-year-old called Wayne Bass after one of its drivers charged him a 36p fare to carry his hamster Sweep. Oh, quite right too. In booze news, the government revised the amount of alcohol that the average man and woman could safely drink. And perhaps surprisingly, it was upwards. You could drink more from this week in 95. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? In football news, bad news for football clubs as European Court of Justice ruled that football's international transfer system was illegal as it broke laws guaranteeing the rights of free movement of workers within the EU. Oh. In submarine news, cool. The wreck of the Resurgam, the world's first mechanical submarine, was found on the seabed off the coast of North Wales. It was built in 1878 by the Reverend George Garrett. The Queen sent letters to Prince Charles and Princess Diana this week in 95, telling them to divorce as soon as possible, as she was tired of their public squabbling. And a statue of the late Frank Zappa was unveiled in Vilnius, the capital of the Republic of Lithuania. It had been organised by Zappa's fan club and its president, Saulius Porksty. I'm not sure how to say that. In more music news, classified documents from the White House were released this week. They revealed the FBI had spied on John Lennon during the early 70s in an attempt to have him deported. And we're going to hear from John Lennon in a moment. And with it being such a peaceful... that was the Sky Night that week. Yeah, very fitting tune. Give Peace a Chance coming up in 1 second. But more important than all of that, there was no Sky Night this week, but Patrick was on the Radio 4 programme A Good Read, discussing his favourite paperback with percussionist Evelyn Glennie and writer Edward Blisham. Patrick's choice was Right O' Jeeves. Very well-read man, though, you know. Writes operas as well, you know, as well as mapping the moon and being a genius. What a guy. And that was the No Sky at Night that week. That was...
Two, one, two, three, four... We'll be right back.
sounds like a party, doesn't it? John Lennon and Give Peace a Chance.
Christmas, a time for giving. Uncle Frank's got you
an inexpensive bottle of wine.
We've got you
vintage years in music from 1970 through to 2010.
Tell me where you've been to.
Grandma's got you
some nice home knitted mittens.
We've got you
some real winter warmers. A celebration of Six Music Live.
Your children have got you
the latest video game.
I wonder who that's really for.
We've got you
Dave Pearce and Chuck D reunited and not fighting over the TV remote.
Sounds like more fun at ours? Then leave them with a pile of turkey sandwiches and join us.
Find out about all our programmes on the Six Music website.
Thank goodness for hydrostatic equilibrium.
Oh, and Guy Garvey's Finest Hour on Six Music.
Sally Westley got in touch and recommended this next tune. It's Robert Wyatt, it's called At Last I'm Free, and it's one of her favourites. Thanks very much for the recommendation, Sally. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
Lovely, that was Robert Wyatt with At Last I'm Free. Thanks to Sally Wesley for the Song for Guy recommendation. If you have any recommendations of songs that you think we'd enjoy to listen to together, base your recommendations on what you hear on the show and try and find things that you think I'm maybe not aware of. The theme of this week's Finest Hour is all things literary. So one of my favourite bands being Calexico, I thought I'd play you this song. This is Writer's Minor Holiday. Writer's Minor Holiday by Calexico. Our theme being all things literary this week, I perhaps have to admit to you all that I'm not as well read as some people may think. And when I say some people may think, I'm not being vain there. I'm quite often approached by people who think that I've taken lyrics from famous novels or poems. I've read more poetry than I have books, but I'm not particularly well read. I think it's something to do with how long it takes me to read a book. I end up looking at the way the words are structured and reading the same line again and again. My partner Emma writes books and absolutely consumes other people's work as well, but it takes me an awful long time. I'm going to play you a tune by Radiohead now called Knives Out. Love the guitar on this. Just listen to how lyrical it is and how fast moving. I'm assuming it's Johnny Greenwood, but it could be any of the three guitarists in the band. This is wonderful. This is Radiohead.
Now come
Radiohead from the album Amnesiac, and that was Knives Out. A really good friend of ours from over the pond is Richard Swift. This was the album that he was touring when I first met him. He opened up for Elbow a number of times while we were on the road in America. And this is the title track. It's called The Novelist, it's in with our theme, and it's a beautiful portrait of New York by a man who obviously loves the place very, very much. Here's Richard Swift.
I am New York, tired and weak. I tried to write a book each time I speak. Mother and me, sister.
Keeping with our literary theme this week, that was Richard Swift and The Novelist. It seems quite fitting to have a Desert Island Disc snippet now from somebody literary. Who better than Tennessee Williams?
And now you brought a new play to London, Vieux Carré. This is an autobiographical piece. The Vieux Carré, of course, is the old French Quarter of New Orleans. And this was your youthful days in a rooming house.
This was my entrance into that state called Bohemia.
Yes. A state of which you're still a citizen.
Yes, but I maintain a precarious balance between citizenship in Bohemia and in the world of propriety.
Oh, that's nice.
I try to.
And you still have two or three recent plays as yet unproduced.
Oh, yes, three, yeah.
Three.
Usually that sounds corny, but it happens to be true, because if you work every day, it happens.
Record number four.
While I was riding Streetcar, just around the corner, there was a bar called Victor's. And after work, I would go to Victor's to fortify myself with a Brandy Alexander. Mm. And they had this Ink Spots record on the jukebox, and I would always play that while drinking the Brandy Alexander.
In which city was this?
New Orleans.
If I didn't care, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stands still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for?
That was The Ink Spots, and If I Didn't Care, chosen by the great Tennessee Williams on his edition of Desert Island Discs.
BBC Six Music.
Some people have an advent calendar.
It's Christmas.
An advent candle.
Oh, ho.
An advent gift.
Oh.
Sean Keaveney's a little more adventurous.
We at Six Breakfast are giving you a daily 15-minute podcast.
The Sean Keaveney Advent Podcast.
The very best bits only will be put into this podcast.
Not like those frozen sausages you get in various superstores.
Download it now from the Six Music website.
A daily little tiny podcast for your delectation. Courtesy of us. It's fine.
Merry Sixmas.
You don't have to thank us.
From BBC Six Music.
Tis the season for love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Guy Garvey on Six Music.
The matter
and the anti-matter.
OK, time for some emails. Kate Gould got in touch and said, who did you play before the Beach Boys? Intentionally, that is. It was super funky. Much enjoyed. Thanks from Kate in London. Kate, it was Rodrigo e Gabriela. That's Rodrigo e Gabriela. That's not an E initial, that's Y. Spanish for and. Dee Danahay's been in touch and said, I'm currently teaching in a little town in northern Greece. I love the show. It keeps me company on quiet Sunday nights. Thank you very much, Dee. Broadcasting to Greece. I love it. Oh, yes. Two fans in Poland. Brilliant. Guy Garvey's back on Six Music, said Daniela at the end of November. My joy knows no end. Thank you very much. And Emilia. Emilia Targonska says, hello from Poland. This is my second time with The Finest Hour, and now on from every Sunday evening. It's something I'm really looking forward to. Amazing music and your soothing voice are keeping me warm in this frosty, snowy night. Oh, well, your emails warmed me up. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much to Jaina in Cheltenham, who got in touch to say, your playlist has Bonnie Prince Billy, Cursed Sheep written on it. Thank you very much. I think that's been corrected now. It should be Cursed Sleep, of course. Liz Gerrard has been in touch with a picture of the Finest Hour cat. Have a look at that. I'm going to make it the front page of my webpage on the Six Music website. Have a look at the Finest Hour cat, checking out my ugly fizz. Thank you very much. But this week's star email comes from Emma Farrer. Emma actually sent this at the end of November, so she may not be expecting me to read it, but I've only just come across it. She said she very much enjoyed my anecdote about trying to blag free tickets at the Roadhouse in Manchester for G Love and Special Sauce. To explain for those of you who didn't hear that particular anecdote, here it is again. Many moons ago, I worked at Manchester Roadhouse, so did most of the rest of Elbow. But before then, my band had played there in our infancy when we weren't called Elbow, we were called Soft. And after our first gig there, where we pulled about 30 punters in, and after our first gig there, G-Love and Special Sauce were due to play. And I got on the phone to the manager of the Roadhouse in those days, a chap called John McBeath, who's still a very good friend of mine, and very arrogantly asked if the band could be on the guest list. The conversation went something like, "Hiya, John, it's Guy from Soft. G-Love and Special Sauce are playing this weekend. Any chance we could get on the guest list?" And John's response was, "Of course, Guy, yeah, no problem. Would you like me to send a car?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be lovely." And then I can't repeat what he next said before he slammed the phone down on me. So Emma says she very much enjoyed the anecdote about us trying to blag free tickets. Bearing in mind that I used to work on the door at the Roadhouse taking people's money, she goes on to say, "I too remember trying to get in for free at the Roadhouse on one occasion. My friend Alex Redhead was bass player in a band called The Sirens, and I said to the nice young man on the door, 'The band playing tonight is my friend Alex's band,' thinking I'd be waved through. Unfortunately, the fellow was completely oblivious to my blagging attempt and instead replied, 'Oh yeah, I know Alex, he's my friend too. £3.50, please.' Thanks a lot, Guy, you were very nice about it, but I was quite poor in those days and I could have used that £3.50 for a drink. Emma, my sincere apologies." I'm not sure I didn't get that you were blagging. I was probably just doing my job like one of those jobs worths that we all hate. Anyway, Sirens were a great band. I'm not sure what happened to them, but they were top. This is for Emma anyway. Thank you very, very much for getting in touch. This is Civil Civic's new single. It's called Lights on a Leash, and it's out tomorrow.
Thank you.
Great, isn't it? That's Civil Civic and Lights on a Leash. The single's out tomorrow. Go get it.
Look now, all around. There's no sign of life. Voices, another sound. Can you hear me now? This is Planet Earth. You're looking at Planet Earth.
Mantra Luna. Mantra Luna.
This being a literary theme programme, here's some live novel writing, courtesy of Monty Python.
And now it's time for novel writing, which today comes from the West Country, from Dorset.
Hello and welcome to Dorchester, where a very good crowd has turned out to watch local boy Thomas Hardy write his new novel, The Return of the Native, on this very pleasant July morning. This will be his 11th novel and the 5th of the very popular Wessex novels, and here he comes! Here comes Hardy, walking out toward his desk. He looks confident, he looks relaxed, very much the man in form, as he acknowledges this very good-natured bank holiday crowd. And the crowd goes quiet now as Hardy settles himself down at the desk, body straight, shoulders relaxed, pen held lightly but firmly in the right hand. He dips the pen in the ink and he's off! It's the first word, but it's not a word! Oh no, it's a doodle way up on the top of the left-hand margin. It's a piece of meaningless scribble. And he signed his name underneath it. Oh, dear, what a disappointing start. But he's off again, and here he goes. The first word off Thomas Hardy's new novel at 10:35 on this very lovely morning. It's three letters, it's the definite article, and it's the Dennis.
Well, this is true to form. No surprises there. He started 5 of his 11 novels to date with a definite article. We've had 2 of them with it. There's been 1 but, 2 ats, 1 on, and a Dolores. Oh, that, of course, was never published.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Dennis, but he's crossed it out. Thomas Hardy here on the first day of his new novel has crossed out the only word he's written so far, and he's gazing off into space. Oh, dear, he's signed his name again.
It looks like Tessa de d'Urberville's all over again.
But he's down again and writing, Dennis. He's written the again. He's crossed it out again.
BBC.
Six Music. On digital. Online.
BBC Six Music.
Who put Garvey on the air?
The B Belly BC, that's who.
Thank you.
On bottles and shite saxophone samples, that was the amazing Herbie Hancock with Watermelon Man. I used to be a huge fan of the jazz funk. Used to be. Here's Everything Everything. Their year, I think. Was Everything Everything and Photoshop Handsome. That's out, reissued on the 17th of January next year. I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow. I'm with you for another hour. The theme of this week's Finest Hour is, of course, all things literary, to tie in with Six Music's paperback
writer season, which has been great. This next song is Fairport Convention. It's called The Book Song, and I was introduced to it by Michael Farnell, who works on The Finest Hour from time to time. Here we go.
If she knew what I see while I'm watching, would she know what to smile, what to say? When she leaves from her book to be with me, where's her mind as she stands?
Fairport Convention and The Book Song. Right. Did you know Howard Jones had written a good song? No, you didn't. No, not that one. You didn't know he'd written a good song. What are you lying for? What are you lying for, anyway? That's what kids say around here, if they want to irritate you, to this day. Anyway, Howard Jones has written a good song. It was on an album with the worst album title I've ever heard. It was on Humans Lib. Shall we have that again? Humans Lib by Howard Jones, who, as far as I'm aware, everything else he did was total crap. This is a really good song. I love it. Some responsible use of synthesizers. This is Don't Always Look at the Rain.
Yeah.
There you go. Howard Jones, would you believe? And Don't Always Look at the Rain. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's surprising, isn't it? Music can surprise you, and that is surprising music. And, you know, surprising music don't just take care of itself. Oh, no, no, no. You need good police. Our Victim was an international hit in 1966 for the Beatles. Although it was their first UK single that wasn't a love song, it didn't stop it being embraced by fans all over the world, making it a prime target for wanna Beatles everywhere. First to make some noise were the Big Ben Banjo Band. Masters of the dreaded medley, they employed the combined forces of banjo, glockenspiel and Bavarian-style brass to work it over before swiftly moving on to another innocent victim. Next, with a malevolent stroking of his beard, a growling Kris Kristofferson dressed it in leathers, strapped it to a Harley and raced through a snarling Easy Rider treatment that left it with a serious case of road rash. Then, like a bunch of sex-starved sirens, Apple Jam attempted to lure it to their lair with a combination of down-and-dirty vocals and salacious strings. They covered it in lipstick and clothes askew, it barely managed to tear itself away. But there was to be no deliverance for this Fab Four classic, because when Harvard Hillbillies, the Charles River Valley Boys, took up their banjos and fiddles and prepared to bludgeon it with bluegrass, it was murder. Mercy, 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 mercy.
Paperback writer. Yes, sir, all night, will you read my book? It took me years to write, will you take a look? It's based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I want to be a paperback writer.
That was eventually the Beatles, and in keeping with our literary theme, that was Paperback Writer. Yeah, you heard the Charles River Valley Boys singing it before them, but why would you need to know that?
Christmas, a time for giving. Uncle Frank's got you
an inexpensive bottle of wine.
We've got you
vintage years in music from 1970 through to 2010.
Tell me where you've been to.
Grandma's got you
some nice home knitted mittens.
We've got you
some real winter warmers. A celebration of Six Music Live.
Your children have got you
the latest video game.
I wonder who that's really for.
We've got you
Dave Pearce and Chuck D reunited and not fighting over the TV remote.
Sounds like more fun at ours? Then leave them with a pile of turkey sandwiches and join us.
Find out about all our programmes on the Six Music website.
Jolly Jupiter, it's Guy Garvey's Finest Hour.
The lovely field music I was introduced to by Mark Riley. And if Mark's show's been concentrating on literary themes in this Six Music season of Paperback Writer, then he's probably already played this, but why don't we play it again? This is field music and it's called Let's Write a Book. Field music and Let's Write a Book. I love Mazzy Star. This album, Among My Swan, is among my favourites. This is called Flowers in December, I thought it might cheer you up if you're feeling a little blue with the cold. Mazzy Star and Flowers in December, a default medley of mine, that, in that I find myself whistling it at this time of year all the time. The other morning I woke up and it had snowed for the first time, which gives you an indication of when I'm recording this show, quite a way ahead of its broadcast, for one reason or another. I'm a busy man, it's a busy time of year. But in any case, I woke up the other morning and it had snowed, and I'd sort of been up to go to the loo during the night, and I peeked out the window and saw that it was snowing. So I told Badger that it had snowed, and she jumped out of bed, went over to the blinds and gasped in delight as she opened them up. And I said, "How deep is the snow?" And then, of course, for the rest of the day, going through my head was, "How deep is the snow? Is the snow? How deep is the snow?" That was my impression of a Bee Gee, by the way. Talking of the Bee Gees, I don't know if you remember the comedy programme Big Train. It had some names, comedy-wise, that have gone on to do great things in it, but it was absolutely superb. Have a look at Chaka Khan versus the Bee Gees online. It's hysterically funny. Make a note of it. I don't want to interrupt you listening to the finest hour, but do go and have a look. It's a gunfight between Chaka Khan and the Bee Gees. Simon Pegg's involved, and it makes me cry laughing. Thanks to Craig Potter, keyboardist in the band Elbow, for turning me onto that one. Tanya Mariados has been in touch. She says, "Hi, Guy. This is one of the only songs that will literally reduce me to tears every time I hear it. Without fail. The lyrics are so moving. Sufjan Stevens tells such a tragic story, but the composition and the way it builds with the horns at the end hint that it will all be well in another lifetime. The line to look out for is, 'Oh, the glory that the Lord has made and the complications you could do without when I kissed you on the mouth.'" Gets me every time, Tanya goes on to say. She says, "For anyone who's experienced the loss of someone to a terminal illness, there's something about the tone of this song that really makes a connection." Aww. Well, thank you very, very much, Tanya, for your email. Let's have a listen to it. It's Sufjan Stevens. It's for Tanya Mariados and whoever she lost. This is Kazimir Pulaski Day.
Goldenrod and the 4-H stone, the things I brought you when I found out you had cancer of the bone. Your father cried on the telephone, and he drove his car into the Navy Yard just to prove that he was sorry. In the morning, shade, when the light pressed up against your shoulder blade, I could see what you were reading. All the glory that the Lord has made and the complications you could do without when I kissed you on the mouth. Thank you.
Sunday night, when I clean the house, I find the card where you wrote it out, with the pictures of your mother. On the floor at the Great Divide, with my shirt tucked in and my shoes untied, I am crying in the bathroom. In the morning, when you finally go, and the nurse runs in with her head hung low, and the cardinal hits the window. In the morning, in the winter shade, on the 1st of March, on the holiday, I thought I saw you breathing. Made, and the complications when I see his face in the morning in the window. All the glory when he took our place, but he took my shoulders and he shook my face, and he takes and he takes and he takes.
Not everyone can claim to be well-read. Have you ever felt excluded from an intellectual conversation or embarrassed by your ignorance when it comes to the classics? For those people who feel intimidated by a well-stocked library and on whom literary references are completely lost, take heart. One of the most loved and respected entertainers of 20th century America so rarely stuck his prominent nose into a novel that when he did, he was moved to write a song about it. I'll never forget the day I read a book, growls the gravelly voice of the great schnozzola himself, Jimmy Durante. And who cares if he can't remember the title, or indeed the plot? Anyone who can rhyme contagious with pages has my eternal respect. And why am I telling you this? Because you need to know.
I can tell this isn't Durante's day, but folks, I've had my moments. Yes, I've had my moments. When I look back through life, I find lots of memories remain. Certain days stay in my mind and keep running through my brain. I remember the day that Edley swam the channel. What a flash! I remember the Wall Street crash, or when Winchell first shouted, flash! But there's one day that I recall, though it was years ago. All my life I will remember it, I know. I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear. The day I read a book, It's a shame I don't recall the name of the book. It wasn't a history, I know, because it had no plot. It wasn't a mystery, because nobody there got shot. The day I read a book, I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm gonna do it again. Why, if you walk into my house, you'll see loads of books. And believe me, they're not there just for appearances. I press an awful lot of butterflies. I know reading is relaxing. What did Napoleon do for relaxation? He read a book. What did Lincoln do for relaxation? He read a book. What does Congress do for relaxation? They book a read. You know, I'm familiar with all the bestsellers. There's the Encyclopedia Britannia, Forever Umbriago, and a new piece of significant literature which says, Atka Gritka Batka Setka Engelafa Ala Mali Shui. How do you like that? I've been reading the life story of Mumbles. But I love good reading. Why, last week I spent 2 solid days in the library. Much to my regret, I buried my nose in a book, and what happened? I forgot which book I buried it in. A catastrophe. It wasn't a history, I know, because it had no plot. It wasn't a mystery, because nobody there got shot. One day I read a book, I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm gonna do it again. Yes, sir, one of these days I'm gonna do it again.
I love it. Jimmy Durante, and I'll never forget the day I read a book. Thank you to the wonderful Beccapedia, as always. One of my sisters introduced me to Prefab Sprout a long time after they were in the charts with their Hot Dogs and their Jumping Frogs. I really wasn't into those singles. I thought they were awful. But what an incredible songwriter Paddy McAloon turned out to be. Forget what you think you know about this guy. Have a listen to this tune. It's gorgeous. It's called Dublin, and it's Prefab Sprout.
Who does not adore the sound of music in the names of towns to build a city on such picturesque ground? That takes some sort of flair. We draw a line, the ink is fear. You stay that side, we'll stay here. It's far harder to keep it up than to tear it down. Does it take you back to the kind of world hindsight calls the good old days? Now that there's no room in an Einstein world for simple cause and effect. Dublin, Dublin, home of pretty Colleens. Dublin, Dublin, nurse of such bitter dreams. Behind the soft and peachy skin, where DNA or God begin, where sub-Gaelic rot sets in, with stories from your mother in myths and less exalted forms. The heady cocktail glory is born. You know it's not a bottle storm. Why do you indulge it? Dublin, Dublin, home of pretty Colleen's. Dublin, Dublin, nurse of such bitter dreams. That's what my mother told me when I was about knee high. That's what my mother told me when I was about knee high. That's what my mother told me when I was about knee high. That's what my mother told me.
That was Dublin by Prefab Sprout. I absolutely love it. So, good news is that I think Elbow have finished their record. We've still got to mix it and master it, but I think I've finished my lyrics. There's never a cinematic ending to finishing a record. You just stop going back and tweaking it, and you realise you've not been back for a tweak for 2 or 3 weeks, and it's probably finished. Anyway, I think we're there at the moment, but I'm not entirely sure. Hopefully by the time this programme is broadcast, it will be set in stone and I'll be settling down for Christmas, getting even bigger than I already am. Anyway, that's my good news. And I just want to say thanks to everybody who sent in emails of love and support over the past 18 months. Makes it sound like I'm swimming the channel, doesn't it? Not at all. But I get lots and lots of very, very lovely emails about the band, which, of course, I don't like to read out in the air, but I don't want you to think that I don't read them or that they're not appreciated. When I get enough of them, I staple them together and I take them to work, and the band sift through them and smile to themselves. Anyway, thank you to everybody. I'm going to play a tune now by The Low Anthem. If you didn't get the album Oh My God, Charlie Darwin, then it's a fantastic record. You really need it. Our last literary-themed song of the programme. This is To the Ghosts Who Write. The Low Anthem. Here we go.
To them ghosts who write history books, all them ghosts who write songs. Now everyone asks, would you write one about me? When you go where flowers bend.
That was the Low Anthem, and to the ghosts who write, what do they write? It's obscured. Hang on a sec. History books. Couldn't see it on my screen. To the ghosts who write history books is the full name of the tune. That's the Low Anthem.
BBC Six Music.
Steve Lamag. Weekdays from 4 p.m.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody.
The insightful musings of a man who loves his music.
It's like some of those songs are just shot out of the catapults.
New music, alternative classics, and your well-endowed selections.
I just think it's got a wicked glint in its eye, that track.
So here's my heart.
Steve Lamag, weekday afternoons from 4. BBC Six Music.
Guy Garvey on Six.
A circumpolar star, if ever I saw one.
This next song is the Seal Cub Clubbing Club. A little bit of a brutal name, but a beautiful song. It's called Old World, and we might just be able to squeeze it in before the end of the programme. There we have it. Thank you to everybody who sent in Song for Guy recommendations. If you have one, it's guy.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Thanks to Beccapedia for her wonderful participation in the programme. Thanks to Michelle and Peter and Ian and Boz and everybody who helps me stitch it together at BBC North. I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow, And it just remains for me to say to you... Keep warm and happy new week.